smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 36. My name is Fred Green, and we thank you for joining us for our Christmas edition of Ask Kenny and the final episode of 2008 of the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast. And who is Kenny, you might ask? Well, if you've listened before, you know that our resident expert on all things regarding your golf equipment is Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist at Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com. Merry Christmas, Kenny.
Merry Christmas to you, Fred. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. How's biz?
We're rocking and rolling. I mean, it's been slower than normal, obviously.
But you're not the only one who's going through that. No.
Yeah.
Everyone's going through that.
Yeah, but we're definitely moving right along, selling golf clubs. We're excited about some new products that are coming out in the future. So, I mean, all we can do is hope for the best.
Well, do you have any new products that you are excited about, you want to talk about?
I mean, there's one in particular, the Adams Speedline driver that's going to be coming out in January, which is exciting. I've had a chance to test the product and some wonderful response. What they've done is they've created a speed line, basically a channel in the golf club. They use the same technology that NASCAR uses in the wind tunnel. Through testing with other drivers and stuff, they noticed that the dispersion of wind or air coming off their drivers was real rough, you know, once it hit the face of the golf club. So they took a real hard look at that and tried to figure out how could they get more drag on the driver itself and basically cut through the air better. Just like they do with NASCAR, downforce on a car makes it stick better, but you got to figure out how to keep that downforce or that air on the car to make it, you know, cut through the air cleaner and faster. And what they found on average was that you could generate 4 miles an hour more club head speed with this driver versus other drivers. And then when you put them on a launch monitor, it's definitely noticeable. You can see a difference in club head speed. Now, it's going to range, you know, anywhere from 2 to 8 miles an hour, depending on the person. But on average, it's about 4 miles an hour club head speed. And, you know, when you equate that to distance, what kind of distance gain are you going to have with your with the driver? And you're looking anywhere from 5 to 15 yards added distance. So a big improvement. Technology is definitely changing at a rapid pace, and they're the first ones that have kind of touched into this category. So we're excited about it.
Where did they find this extra 4 miles? I mean, it's like I thought with all the millions of dollars that were spent on R&D by other companies that nothing was left unturned, and all of a sudden here's something new that somebody's found that no one else knew about?
I guess so. I mean, technology, when you're looking at R&D and all the money that's spent, you look at a lot of stuff has to do with ball speed, spring-like effect, coefficient of restitution, a moment of inertia right now. So you're trying to increase ball speed with different metals and trying to increase moment of inertia by, you know, distributing weight in certain areas of the golf club and center of gravity. But I guess nobody's really touched on the drag that the club creates. You got a club that's 460 cc's, so it's a large mass down there that you're trying to generate, you know, club head speed with. So they took a nice hard look at what NASCAR does in trying to make cars faster, and the same technology that they use, to look at, you know, what their products are doing and how do they increase the drag force on race cars. They did that with driver technology, and, you know, wow, all of a sudden you're generating more club head speed just by changing products. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool technology that they used, and they're going to be one of the products on the cover of our January catalog, and excited about some of the progress that they're making.
That's unbelievable. Now, how soon do you think that it's going to be, and how long will it take for the other manufacturers to respond to this?
Typically, you know, the word gets out sometimes before the launch of a product. So
oh, sure.
You know, the product's going to launch on January 15th. I'm sure other manufacturers are taking a look at this or exactly, you know, what they're going to do. Hey, we need to get in a wind tunnel and see where our drivers compare and definitely start taking a look at the shape of the golf club and how it gets distorted through wind. Not only with, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, what's the highest moment of inertia we can create, what's the highest, you know, core we can create, and, you know, trying to equate all of these three factors in to create, you know, the ultimate driver.
Hmm. Unbelievable. That's really pretty exciting, yeah.
It is exciting.
And so you know, will there be a premium on the price point for that driver that is going to make it for the elite few who can afford it?
No, I mean, because you're not dealing with metals, you know, exotic metals that are expensive and things like that.
So it's not materials, it's just research.
It's just research is all you're dealing with. So, you know, what we're looking at here is just, hey, here's a great driver at a great price point. I mean, it's literally so new that, yeah, you see, you know, it's going to be in the $299, $399 range.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us. But I do want to get to a couple of questions in the time that we have today. If you don't mind, can we get some questions from listeners?
Absolutely.
Great.
One of the most enjoyable things we do on the show.
Awesome. Well, then Joseph DeBono of Keller, Texas said that his Slazenger Black Label has been the favorite ball that he's played over the last few years, but it seems to have been discontinued and all the remaining inventory in his area is exhausted. Now, the current Slazenger line doesn't have a ball that feels the same as the Black Label that he's played. Does Edwin Watts Golf sell a golf ball similar to the feel of the Black Label?
Yeah, we don't sell the Slazenger ball anymore. At one time, Slazenger made, you know, an incredible golf ball, and I haven't had a chance to play any of their new products that they have out right now, so I'm at a disadvantage there. Some of the golf balls that he's talking about price point wise, Srixon makes a ZURS and a ZURC golf ball that has that same type characteristics that they say Srixon ball or that Slazenger ball has. You know, you've run into the same situation yourself.
Yeah, with the Bridgestone E6, and then they went to the E6 Plus, and I just wasn't feeling it the same way.
Yeah, and you basically, what you did was just bought the bulk of the inventory that was out there.
Yes, I did. and now I've run out. I've got six balls left.
So,
I don't know what to do. You're going to have to introduce me to a new ball that I can play.
Yeah, which I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, the good news is your manufacturer still makes a ball in that category.
Great.
Whereas his doesn't, you know. Mm. So he's going to have to just test product and see what's the closest thing he can get to feel wise. You know, he's, you know, as far as brand.
Well,
brand
if he's changing from Slazenger, where would you direct him to go if he liked that Black Label? What do you think would be a good ball for him to check out, or give him a couple choices?
I would check out Titleist line. I would check out Nike. I would check out Callaway, Srixon, and Bridgestone. Those are the golf balls that I would look at right now. They're the hottest sellers for us.
Sure. So if you were going to send him to a Titleist ball, which ball would you say that he would be the closest feel to the Slazenger back?
Probably the NXT Tour.
I like that ball. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've played it. So.
I like that ball a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a great price point, so.
That's a thought. Okay. Good. All right, let's move on to Bob King, and he's writing to us from Silver Spring, Maryland, and he says, following the advice of one of the experts on Golf Smarter Tips, I took a one-year-old Cleveland CG12 50-degree wedge to a local golf shop to have it bent to 48 degrees. I know the pro at the shop and trust him, and when he put the wedge in the machine, he told me that the wedge was actually not 50 degrees, but 51.5. Which explains a lot to him, and it also means that he probably wasted some money a couple of months ago when he bought a 52-degree wedge, since apparently he unknowingly already had one. So the pro told him that it's not uncommon for clubs to be off when it comes to the numbers on the degree of loft. His question is, how rare is that? And is it wise for every new club to be checked when you before you take it out of the store?
Yeah, these clubs are mass-produced. I mean, if you're dealing with any type of club that you consider to be valuable, and to me, wedges are your scoring clubs. I mean, that's where you need to be the most consistent with.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't take but a minute to put it on a loft and lie machine and see if it's correct. You would be amazed. You know, whenever we check loft and lie adjustment on golf clubs, you know, they can be off, you know, by up to 2 degrees. So if you got one that's off, let's say 2 degrees strong, and the next club's 2 degrees weak, you got the two clubs that are the exact same loft. You know, if you're talking about a 6 and 7 iron. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but I'm just saying that, you know, there are issues with loft and lie on some golf clubs, and wedges are something I would definitely check.
Well, that seems to be an interesting point because you say they're mass-produced, but a point that Bob makes that I think is valid is that with the modern manufacturing the way it is, wouldn't this kind of precision not have any variances?
You would think that that would be the case.
Sure.
But, you know, and it's not isolated to one manufacturer.
Hmm.
I'm saying the ones that specialize in certain clubs were Vokey. Obviously, their wedges are extremely popular. Cleveland's the same way. Their wedges are extremely popular. And Callaway. You know, the thing is, they could still be off by a little bit. If they're off by half a degree or 1 degree, could create a difference for somebody that's a skilled player.
So should people, before they walk out the door, have the loft checked on their clubs?
Can that be done?
Should they be doing it?
It can be done. Should it be done? It doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we sell wedges here every day that don't go on a loft and lie machine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'll get some good players that will call me and say, hey, can you take a minute and check the loft and stuff on my wedges and see if they're okay? And we will. And every now and then you will get a wedge that's out. You know, it says it's 52 and it might be 53 or 51 or what have you. So, and they change. I mean, that's a club that you're making a huge impact on usually. I mean, you're taking a big divot with these golf clubs, and if you're playing on hard pan, you can only imagine it's a softer metal that they use versus a standard cast golf club. So you can actually bend it through playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If you're hitting in hard pan and those wedges get pounded often, it'll change the degree of loft?
Do you know how Ping bends their golf clubs?
I'm afraid to ask.
They put it in a vise and they bend it with a guy with a rubber mallet. I mean,
millions of dollars spent, yeah. and this is how they do it, huh? With a guy with a rubber mallet. Fred Flintstone in the back room.
Yeah. Well, they do it and he checks it through the whole process. It's a pretty neat process. We've talked about it before, but there's a manual process that they do. Where a lot of people just use machining or what have you, but you're doing the same thing basically when you're out there playing golf. When you're using a golf club that uses a softer metal and you're taking a nice whack down on the golf ball and hard pan especially, I mean, you can definitely change the loft and lie of that golf club.
Well, I guess it's good to know that Barney Rubble's son, Bam Bam, from the Flintstones, got a job in golf.
Still has a job.
Yeah. Bam Bam, Bam. He's smacking golf clubs.
It's true, though. I mean, it's definitely
really interesting. So on a normal set of clubs, what is the difference on degree of loft from club to club? Isn't it generally about four degrees?
4 degrees,
yeah. Okay.
Typically, it's 4 degrees.
So when someone carries four wedges in their bag with them... So they're trying to get between the pitch and the sand wedge. So
well,
you're adding two
if
more.
If you buy a set of golf clubs that's, let's say, 3 through pitch and wedge and you get a sand wedge, your pitch and wedge is 48 degrees and your sand wedge is 56. So you've got 8 degrees difference in loft. That's a big void when the rest of your set is 4 degrees.
Right. So then
so
you need
like,
a,
okay.
So you need a 52.
Yeah, correct. So, okay. I mean, the natural thing there is to say, okay, anybody that buys a set 3 to pitch with a sand wedge, you should automatically buy, a 52-degree wedge to go with it because, it's too hard to say I'm going to jump on this pitch and wedge or I'm going to ease up on this sand wedge to hit at that perfect yardage. I mean, everybody's been in that situation.
And that's why they call it the gap wedge.
Yeah, correct. So,
okay.
You know, three wedges are a must. Your pitching wedge, gap wedge, and sand wedge are a must. Now, I carry four wedges. I carry a pitch, gap, sand, and lob.
Which is a 60-degree.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. You know, that's for, you know, somebody that wants to, you know, take a full swing on a shorter yardage, because it's hard. You know, you get into the inside that 100-yard range is your scoring area.
Yep.
And you could be at 60 yards, and you're fixing to have to hit a sand wedge almost half. Well, for me, it would be half. You know, so for me, a lob wedge full is about 95 yards. I know that perfect. So, and then I can open the club up just a little bit. And take a full swing and hit it 60 yards. And I definitely use a lob wedge almost exclusively out of the bunker. Anywhere around the green, if I'm in a bunker, I'm going to be using a lob wedge, not a sand wedge.
Good.
I just like to open it wide up and, you know, just depending on what type of shot it is, if you got to make it run or you've got to hold it, your swing dictates that. But I feel like you have more playability with that club than any club in your bag.
Okay, well, talking about hitting on hard pan, let's move on to the next question, because it's appropriate here, especially this time of year. Dr. Rick Zabrodsky from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, says that he's in search of the perfect golf practice mat. He lives in Calgary, and he's lucky to hit off the turf for 4 to 6 months that he can play golf. But during the off season, he has to hit off of mats, and he finds that while he can keep his driver consistent over the winter, his irons are dismal when he starts again in the spring, and he finally realized that it's because he cannot truly hit down on a mat and to get the same correct feedback that the turf provides when he's getting a divot. So he wants to know from you what product is out there that can simulate turf and give him the feedback that he needs. And like I said, his name is Dr. Rick Zabrodsky, so he says, any price, I need to know that I'm getting the feel of getting a good divot when I'm hitting my irons.
Anyway. Yeah, we use mats here called True Strike, and I like them a lot. I mean, you go to the driving range, and they have those big rubber mats there. It almost feels like when you hit down on it with a club, like you're simulating taking a divot, it almost grabs the club when at impact and then releases. I mean, you can feel it, especially if you have tendonitis in your elbows. You can definitely feel it, and it's a jarring impact. The mats that we use here are called True Strike. And they're the closest thing that I have found to being a very natural substance. It's gel filled is what it is. You know, so to me, you get as close as a natural impact as you can on a mat versus anything I've been on before.
All right. Good advice.
And we sell those. So.
All right.
You can pick one of those up.
All right. So can you get it off the website? Because like I said, he's calling from Canada.
Yeah, he sure can.
Okay, well, let's remind him then that the discount code for Golf Smarter, Golf Better listeners ends on January 1st, so they better get that order in soon, and the checkout code is GSMART08, GSMART08, and get a 10% discount and free shipping for most products, depending on where you're having it shipped to. If you're shipping out of the country, it could be a problem. I'm not sure. Canada, how does that work, Kenny?
Canada would have to ship UPS International,
okay.
You know, because it does have to go through customs and everything.
All right, so that's not free shipping then?
No, Canada would not be free shipping.
But he can find the product and get the 10% discount on that product?
Yeah, he sure can.
Awesome. All right, last question from Graham Arnold, and this one's from Huntsville, Alabama, just near where you're at. You can probably hit a driver there.
That'd be driver three wood.
Okay.
And we do have stores in Huntsville.
All right, well, then he can definitely get some help here. He said his son is 22 years old and lately has become interested in taking up golf. He's generally, his life, been a surfer and a soccer player as a kid. So he wants to know what category of clubs would be right for starting at the age of 22. He's pretty sure that starting with forged blades, which he did in the last century, it's not the right idea. But on the other hand, I worry that starting with the super game improvement clubs might cause him to lock in bad habits from the start. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds like he was back in the hickory shaft days. But
well, I mean, last century was also 10 years ago. But
yeah. No, really what it comes down to is money. I mean, you don't want to start out in a box set that doesn't have any playability or game improvement to it. We do sell some sets here. One set in particular is the Founders complete set. Founders, when I started here 15 years ago, that was the club of choice. I mean, I played the Founders Series 200 irons. It was a forged blade for a long time, and they had a huge presence on tour as well. But, you know, some other big manufacturers came out that had a lot of cash out there and created a lot of brand equity and presence, and Founders just kind of slid by the wayside. They're still out there, and they still make an absolutely wonderful product. And for $350 and minus his discount, he can get into a great package set that's designed for, you know, an entry-level golfer. But it's one that he can use for a long time. I mean, they just have progressive offset, which helps that type of player, and something that he, you know, would want to upgrade later on if he got to where he was enjoying the game and wanted to get a better set of golf clubs. But for the entry-level person, you're getting a golf club that's not what we would consider from a big-box store. It's definitely a quality set of golf clubs. And then Adams is coming out with a $499 package set. Right now, their complete set that we sell is $899.99. They've decided that they want to, you know, get a set in that price range and not sacrifice quality and playability. And they're coming out with a set in early spring that's going to be a $499 package set to compete with these guys. So there are some sets out there where he doesn't have to spend a ton of money and can get into a great set of golf clubs. Whereas if he goes with one of the top manufacturers to get all of the woods that he's going to need, hybrids, iron sets, putter, and a bag, you're looking, you know, anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500. And yet you don't know if he's going to really enjoy golf.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like he's athletic. I mean, he surfs, plays soccer, and, you know, it sounds like he loves sports. So
and
I'm
he's
sure
probably,
that he'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, he's probably started playing and got hooked. So he's like, now he's getting excited about playing more often. But you know, with a 22-year-old, you get excited about things and then lose interest. So, but it'll come back to him later. But also, it brings me to the. I'm going to throw in one more question because it seems a little appropriate here. This one's from Arthur Chan in Walnut Creek, California. He says, "I bought new irons about 6 years ago." When he started playing, when he had an index of about 30, and he was fit with a -2 degree lie on his irons. 6 years later, his handicap has come down to a 16.6, and of course that's from listening to our podcast, but when he got fit for new irons, he's a 0 degree lie. Now he says, I'm 58 years old, or I'm 58 years young, and he's not grown or shrunk at all. Can my stance change that much over the 6 year period where he's gone from a -2 degree lie to a 0 degree lie in his clubs?
Yeah, and how long ago did he get fitted, you said?
6 years ago.
Yeah, what's happened in that 6 years is research, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Ping found out through using high-speed photography. I believe it was Ping. I might be misquoted there, but I'll give them credit for it anyway. Through high-speed photography, that clubs don't actually flex backwards. They do what's called toe-down effect. So you get a bow in the shaft. Basically, if you held the golf club straight out, you held onto the grip and you pointed it straight forward, the toe is going, you know, the shaft is going to bend straight down. So what you've done is you've changed the lie angle at impact. So what you see at address is not exactly what's going to happen at impact. So through technology and being able to figure this out, this toe-down effect has changed the lie degree for most manufacturers, and it was in some cases 2 degrees. So where I used to be standard black in Ping golf clubs, my swing hasn't changed at all. My stance hasn't changed at all. And I'm now 1 degree upright. I'm now blue. Okay, that's where I fit on the static fit chart.
Interesting.
So yeah, it can change. Two things here. One, yes, your setup can change enough to reflect having a change of 2 degrees easily over 6 years. One, he was 52 at the time. Now he's 58, so he might be bending over more or standing up straighter because of, you know, an ailment or what have you. And then the other is the toe-down effect has definitely changed. So if you were fitted 6 years ago, today it's different. So great question, but the answer is definitely black and white. It has changed.
Interesting.
If you look at pictures sometimes, you think flexing a golf club, you take the club up to the top and you start swinging down, the shaft's just going to bow backwards, basically in the direction that it just came from, correct? makes perfect sense. It not always does that. It actually bends backwards and bends down towards the ground, which is really, really weird. I can show you a picture of Holly, my daughter, Fred, and where she's using a real flexible kid shaft, and now she's playing junior golf. And this thing is so towed down, it changed 5 or 6 degrees loft. I mean, or lie, I should say. You know, it's pretty neat looking at this, looking at these pictures and seeing what they're talking about.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm glad that Holly's hitting the ball so much better. She's going to be she's toying with you soon.
Fundamentally, she's got it. So, I mean, she's excited about playing. That's what's cool. You know, if you, you know, that's what we hope. You know, you have kids or have friends that have kids, to get them out there and get them passionate about the game, because golf is so much fun. To me, it's fun from a family aspect.
Right.
You know, having my kids out there playing with me is just an absolute joy. But two, it creates, to me, it gives responsibility, because one, it's etiquette that you have out there, you know, so you're having to learn some social skills about being quiet and you know, taking your time and letting other people, you know, basically if they're out there putting first, if they're out there hitting first, you know, things like that. So you learn a lot of life skills out there as well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of different things. I just enjoy it.
Well, one of the things that I know you truly enjoy is giving away great products, and we have a great product to give away, the Sonocaddy V300 GPS rangefinder, which is going to be probably the best present somebody receives this holiday season, and we'll be bragging about it the entire golf season this year and hopefully beyond as they get to use it and say, yeah, you know where I got this for free? At the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast. And we have 284 entries. Kenny, you get to pick a number between 1 and 284. And you can pick either 1 or 284. And the winner is going to be
180.
Number 180.
Yeah, you always should ask. You know, why?
So, Kenny, 180, why would you pick that one so quickly today?
Because the Yankees signed Mark Teixeira to a $180 million contract.
And you know what? Yankees are still not going to win the World Series, are they?
That's because he came from your Angels.
Angel. No. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I know you're a Dodger.
No.
I know you're a San Francisco Giant.
No. Oh, my God. Kenny, how long have we been doing this? I'm an Oakland A's fan. I grew up a Dodger fan, but I'm an Oakland A's fan. All right, enough baseball.
You did invite me to McCovey Cove, though.
Yes, I did. Well, that was because the All-Star game was there. We were going to go ride the we were going to go get some kayaks and go sit out in the cove during the All-Star game in the Home Run Derby. That's what my idea was. We didn't do it, and nobody hit anybody out there, and it was cold that night anyway. So listen, the winner,
because of the Yankees, number 180 just won a great prize.
Yes, he did, and you know what? He really doesn't like your reasoning. I can tell you that because he's from Chicago, Illinois.
he's a Cubby.
Well, we don't know if he's a Cubby or a Sox fan, you know, and you can accuse him of being a Cubby fan. He's Southside. He's going to be smacking you upside the head. But anyway, congratulations to Brian Mowbray. He has won himself a Sonocaddy V300 GPS rangefinder.
Congratulations, Brian.
Awesome. Well, that's it, Kenny. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everybody at the Edwin Watts Golf stores, family, headquarters, and beyond, and the owners, and to your boss. Wish them all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and thanks everyone for listening. Kenny?
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody out there too, Fred.
Thanks, Kenny. It's an absolute pleasure to work with you. And for the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast, I'm Fred Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.